and the topics that we're going to go over are discussing the difference between career exploration coaching, job search coaching, and career coaching, discussing the difference between career criteria and career possibilities, learning how to record career criteria and career possibilities while coaching, briefly reviewing the career matrix that we'll go into much more detail in a future session on, getting an overview of the career exploration process and the career exploration client page on the DonnaShilder.com website, and you will want to have that open. Does everybody have access to that page? Or let me ask a different question. Does anyone not have access to that page? Nope. Okay. So I'm going to assume that you have it. And then I'm going to also encourage you to get versed in career possibilities. So that is our agenda. We'll see how far we get through it. I'm working on with my coach letting things be a little messier and not so perfect. And so I hope you will support me on that journey. I have provided you with a career exploration process training document, which we didn't have on the last version of this call. So I'm continuously working on this process and building documents to help you. And this process, this document is probably a living document and will change as we go forward. But let me orient you to the fact that what I've done is I've taken portions of the career exploration page and I've put them in the document, and they are boxed with a dark box around them. And then the blue type is your instructions on how to do the career coaching. And then there's also a few little examples in here that aren't on the website. So is everybody at the career exploration page? Anybody not there? Okay. So does anybody have any questions about the portions of the document being portions of what's on the career exploration page? You guys are awfully quiet.
We're here.
Okay, you're here, you're listening. Okay.
Some of us are here.
Yeah.
Everybody else here?
Is everybody else there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. This just got really quiet. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is a question that came up in the last session, which was, what is the difference between career exploration coaching, job search coaching, and career coaching? And Barry, you were on the call. Do you want to make some comments about that from the last time?
I can remember.
I think you do remember.
I think the one that asked the question.
That's why
one is where you know. One is where you know what you're looking for, and the other is where you're trying to figure it out.
Okay, so which one is which?
What were the two choices? Job exploration.
Yeah. So job search coaching.
It's a little later than I'm normally up. So.
Okay.
Job
okay.
exploration and.
So job search coaching.
Search. That's the one where you know what you're looking for, and the exploration is where you're trying to figure out what you want.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So. When a client comes to you, sometimes they don't know what to call it, but if they know which job that they want to look for and they want support in finding that job, then that's job search coaching. If they come to you and say, I want a job as a mechanical engineer, then they need job search coaching, and you're going to help them with job search strategy, you know, what job search websites to use, networking, you know, what is their elevator speech, what are their target markets, what is their target companies, that kind of thing. Not all of you want to do job search coaching, and so if it's a job search coaching client, you can let me know and we can get them shifted over to somebody that does job search coaching. Career exploration coaching is when somebody, the classic time when they get career exploration coaching is when they come out of school and they don't know what career they want to do. But lots of people get to wanting to have a new career in midlife, even in their 30s, and especially towards the end of their career when they want to maybe work less hours or finally do what their passion is. And so they come to us to help them find out what careers or jobs would match their values and their personality type and their desired type of lifestyle, their desired work environment. And that's our job, is to help them when they want career exploration to sort out which career or job would match them the best. There are also times when there's just career coaching, and that's more helping someone just maybe move up to the next position or just work on being better at their current career. So there is kind of a third type. What we identified last time, which is absolutely true, is that career exploration coaching and job search coaching often happen with the same client. And sometimes we even circle back around, within both of those. But often, if somebody comes for career exploration, we then support them with job search coaching. And like I said, you can pass them back to me and I can get them to a job search coach if you don't want to do that process. So sometimes the client is doing both at the same time. Sometimes the client is doing one or the other, and it's important to be clear. When they're doing both, you need to keep cycling them back into both of them and not let them forget about career exploration because they're feeling desperate to find a new job. To get them by until they find what career they want to do. Any questions about that?
No.
Okay. Then once you have that clarity, one thing you may sometimes need to do is also help them figure out if they are unhappy with their current job because of the work, or could it be because of a bad boss or a bad company environment, or they're in the wrong industry. It's always easier for someone to get a job doing what they're already doing than to completely embark on a new career. And so often I think it's important to make sure that it's not one of these factors that is the dissatisfier rather than the work itself. And if it's one of those dissatisfiers, then it's our job to help them find a job where they have a better boss or they have a better work environment or they're in an industry that matches them more. For example, if someone's in sales and they're selling sports equipment, that may not match their values as much as if they were selling spa services. And so they're still selling, but we're helping them find a type of selling job that matches them better. So does that make sense to you guys?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Any questions on that?
I've seen that somebody is not coming to you for job search or job exploration. You're doing some other coaching with the people, and there's something in the environment, there's something in the culture, and as a result, they may choose to go, wow, I actually need to be working somewhere else, or I need some different career, I need some different company, and then I can see them branching into that direction.
Yes. And so if you're versed in the process, then you can take them forward with it. If not, then you can let me know and we can rematch them with somebody that does, whichever thing that they need. But absolutely. People will come to us and just be unhappy and not know why, and through coaching they start to discover why that is, and then we can help them with a process to help them get where they need to go. So that's a great comment. Thanks, Barry. The next step in the career coaching process is to start interviewing the client and, you know, doing what we do, asking questions. And in Attachment A, we do have a list of career exploration questions, and that's on page 6 of the document. And we will be going in depth with questions in a future session, and we'll probably even do some role play with questions. But I did want to make sure that you knew those were there as a support to you. And as we're starting the career exploration process and asking questions for that, what we're trying to do is uncover two things. And I've listed them here. One is career possibilities, and one is career criteria. And career possibilities are really different jobs or career paths, like being a teacher or a business consultant, an audiologist, an engineer. And career criteria are the things that we use to decide whether the possibility matches us or not. So, for example, a career criteria is make at least, I've got a little typo there, but $50,000, say. And we can see, you know, a teacher in some states makes that, a teacher in other states may not make that, but that is a criteria, make at least $50,000 with a desire of making $100,000. The business consultant, they're going to make that for sure. The nonprofit program director, maybe, you know, the 50 to 75. The audiologists, probably 60 to 80. The engineers, probably 80 to 120. So you can kind of see that some of these possibilities match that criteria better than others. If you look at flexibility for family, I'd say teacher's not flexible because you can't leave. Business consultant might be more flexible but may not be, depending on, you know, what the demands are. Maybe an audiologist can manage their schedule a little bit more. So that's kind of what we're trying to do, is look at the career possibilities against the career criteria to see which ones match the best. And I have a tool that we're going to utilize to do that, but before I take you over to look at that, I want to see if you have any questions about the difference between career possibilities and career criteria. Nobody's got any questions. Okay. So when I'm doing coaching for career exploration, what I'm doing is I'm asking questions, and then I have a pad of paper. I draw a line down the middle of it, and on the left I put possibilities, and on the right I put criteria. And as they're talking, I'm noting things down, and I'm putting them on the right side, because part of why they can't make a decision is because they've got the criteria and the possibilities all mixed together in their brains. So I'm sorting that out for them. I'm helping them identify criteria. And sometimes as I'm noting, I have to move them back and forth because I may not put them on the right side of the sheet. But, you know, before I go on, I think what I want to do is ask you guys. So what are some career criteria that you've had from clients that you've worked with? Tiffany, I know you've done a little bit of this. What are the other criteria that you've heard about from clients?
Ability to travel.
Ooh, that's a good one. Any other ones? No? What about you?
Barry, I've seen like some people are more extroverted and like to be in the field, for instance. Mm-hmm. So maybe a, not necessarily a sales job, but something where you're not in the home office, more in the field, getting around.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody, maybe somebody wants to do training, so they have this kind of, you know, animated side opposed to people that are more heads down, or depending on their family life, they might not want to travel. You know, they might not want to be in the field, work from home, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've seen one which is not sit at a desk. Or get to move around or get to go different places.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I, you know, you've got to be kind of trying to find a way to phrase it really in a short phrase. But, yeah, those are great examples. Vicki, can you think of a career criteria?
Well, this is funny timing because I'm starting with someone tomorrow who, in initial conversation, she said, she wants research and to not sit at a desk.
Ah, okay.
So that will, I'll see. I'll let you know how that one goes.
Okay, so matches up perfectly. And Katie, you're more experienced with this process. What are some of the criteria you ran into?
The ability to work virtually.
Okay.
The ability to make a certain compensation. Wouldn't mm-hmm. that be a criteria?
Yeah, that's like a, that first one, make at least $50,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? The ability to, you know, collaborative environment.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Be a part of a team, not just work autonomously.
Yeah.
Not have to commute far.
Yes.
I don't know if that'd be a criteria or not. But.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And all of those are criteria that I've worked with clients, so those are great examples. Thank you. And I'll say about the compensation one that it is good to put actual numbers in there because if you're not specific, then it's hard to see if that job would make that amount of money or not. And having them put a desired amount is really good because the teacher, you know, you can make $50,000, but if you want to make $150,000, it's not going to match up. So
when you're saying put it in, oh, in the matrix.
Yeah. So right now we're putting it just on our criteria list.
Got it.
This criteria that's on this criteria list is going to go in the matrix. Exactly.
Okay.
So any questions about this so far? Okay. I want to take you over to page 3 in the document. We're going to come back to page 1, but I want to expose you to this career matrix, that this mysterious spreadsheet, so that you kind of know where we're going with this. We'll go in more detail on this career matrix and how to fill it out in a future session, but for now I just wanted you to take a look at it. There are 2 pages to it. The first, or sheets in the spreadsheet, the first one is where the criteria go. And you can see, if you look at line 11, in that, it says full-time $80 to $120 per hour and part-time $50 to $60 per hour. And this was the criteria that this client came up with. You can see some other criteria like no education required. And you can say, see on number 13, location South Bay. So for her, she needed to be able to live in the South Bay in California, in the Los Angeles area, and some of the positions that we came up with really wouldn't be offered there. And so that became a criteria. You'll also notice that there's a criteria weighting, which we'll talk about more, but basically the reason that's there is because some criteria are more important than others. So for this person, love of learning and perseverance weren't as important to have in her work as humor and playfulness was, and making on, you know, line 13 or line 12, making the $80 to $120 an hour. I'm almost afraid to ask if there's any questions about this page because I don't want to go in too much detail on it yet, but I'll ask. Any questions on just that overview of this piece of the career matrix?
I'll just make a comment that I can see the connection, like on that first page of the career possibilities and criteria, this page and then the next page. I can see what you're doing is you're helping them identify and uncollapse or pull the distinctions apart so everything's not all mushy, go through a process, whittle some things down, move some things around so they can begin to get more focused, because I can see how without this, it could just be one big overwhelmed mess for clients.
Thank you. That's exactly what that's why I created this process exactly.
Yeah.
So I got exposed to this tool in process improvement training in 1995, of all things, and it's just a decision-making tool, and what I did was customize it to career evaluation, and the idea was to help people sort through, because it's just overwhelming. There's too many criteria, and there's too many possibilities, and I'm trying to give it structure so that they can make an informed decision. So thank you for making that comment. And those of you that haven't seen this before, don't be overwhelmed. You'll get exposed to it more than once, and over time it will become more clear. But basically, yes, I'm taking the notes I'm taking from the example on page one and putting them into this career matrix, the criteria on the first sheet. And let's flip over to page four, the possibilities on the second sheet. And so what you'll see is across the top, the criteria have been pulled in from the first sheet. Their weights have been pulled in. And then across and then down the column, you'll see the different jobs that this person was considering. So they were going as far from, you know, strategic finance and operations was what they were currently doing, and then they were looking at sonography, professor, guidance counselor, and human resources generalist. So you can see that people get this broad range of possibilities that they're looking at, and it's just hard to make a decision without something that helps them make things a little more defined and specific. So now I'll throw it open and say, are there any questions?
So this is Katie.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great because, you know, what I've been doing is looking at all the assessments with the client and then really transferring those onto here.
Yes.
But you really also, like, not transferring all of them. You're putting the key ones on here, and then you're putting things like commute, like actual compensation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like on the like authentic learning, I mean authentic happiness one, you know, like wealth is one of the top priorities of one of my clients. And so we put wealth and stability versus an actual compensation, but it'd be better to put an actual compensation, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, part of what you're trying to do, too, is drive them to specificity, because the more specific it is, the more useful it is. And so, absolutely. And for those of you that are newer to this, there are inventories that also help feed criteria into this. You know, part of it comes from interviewing or asking the client questions, but part of it comes from their inventories. But those are just a starting point, and we can take that to wherever we want to take it. The first section here where it says values, I am taking that from the values in action inventory, but I sometimes rewrite those with the client. The second section here, the desired characteristics, it's coming from a inventory, but I also am pulling from the interview and, you know, putting criteria like location in South Bay is, you know, very specific.
Yeah.
And usually what happens is we end up having a lot more than 21 criteria, and then we cut it back down. And usually what happens is there's some repeat from the values and the care fees, say. It's almost always.
Noticed that.
And that's fine, and that's actually just reinforcing that we're getting the right criteria, but we want to make sure we don't have all those And we also don't want to have really any more than 21. So we what we do is we have them throw a few out, because if you have more than 21, it starts to really dilute the whole process, the matrix itself. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah. So for clients that are really right brain, because if I got my right and left, right is creative and left is more the boxes and analytical.
Yeah.
For people that are super right brain that don't fit into the boxes and this sort of thing would throw them off the deep end, what do you suggest? Do you just map it into a right brain version of it?
Yeah. Somehow. So now I have been doing this for 10 years, and almost every client has responded to it. I really haven't had that many that were completely overwhelmed by it. But for those that are, or just it doesn't appeal to them, what I do is I still am collecting the possibilities and the criteria. And what I do is I take each possibility and I talk it through them. So, for example, if one of their possibilities was business consultant, then I would, you know, talk to them and I'd say, well, you know, how much humor and playfulness do you think is in that? Do you think there's judgment and critical thinking in it? And I'd be just noting things down. You know, do you think there's a love of learning? And I'm really talking about here, you know, what are your values and are your values, you know, included in this type of work? And I just do it more verbally.
Yeah, different modality is all.
A different modality.
Yeah.
And I still, in that case, I have to kind of make notes, and I need to kind of help them see, oh, it looks like this one's matching a lot, and this one's not matching as much. So it's a little bit harder for the coach.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're bridging the gap between the way this is put together and where the left brain structured and the other way, so you can help them see it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And when I have a client like that, I really take their possibilities and I try to hone it down. Like, they're sort of like this brainstorming process of get as many possibilities as you can. And then after that, there's a narrowing where you get rid of some, right? And with somebody like that, I'm verbally, you know, asking them questions to eliminate, well, gosh, you know, you said you don't want to get any education, so we need to take audiologist and sonographer off of there. You know, okay, you said you want to make this amount of money. Well, then I think we got to take this and this off of there. So I'm kind of leading them a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I'm still taking them to the same place.
That actually makes a lot of sense, because I assess that often somebody has really super right brain, super creative. They're way up in the vision and the possibility, and so you're kind of helping them chunk through, okay, so out of all those possibilities, which are the ones that are really going to work and which are the ones that aren't? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's what you do with them anyway. It's just that you, in the background, you've got some structure that you wouldn't normally have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on this so far? Nikki, I want to check in with you because I think this is really new for you. Is this making sense at all, or is this overwhelming?
Oh, no, this is good. We covered this individually once.
Okay,
a little bit, so,
good. Okay,
so
and
I'm,
Tiffany,
I'm
did we go through this once?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so everybody's been exposed. Okay, good. For some reason, I was thinking that Vicki and Tiffany hadn't been exposed at all to this. So so hopefully this...
I think mine was just months ago, that's why.
Okay. Okay. So... that gives you a little bit of overview of the career matrix. We'll get into more detail on it in the future. I wanted to just go back through and give an overview of the whole process and the way this document lays out. Does that seem like an okay direction to go in for you guys?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So after you have kind of, and by the way, there's two ways to do it. You can just record all the possibilities and all the criteria and then put it into the matrix most of the time what I do is I'm adding things into the matrix as we're going, and I used to send the Excel spreadsheet back and forth between us. Now we've also got the ability to do it on Google Drive, and that way you and the client both can be working in the document, and we'll go through how to do that in the future. But that kind of makes more sense if you're tech savvy and you're comfortable with that, because then they can be off, you know, putting data into it, and you can be putting data into it, and it can be an evolving document between you. But going back to the inventories part on page 1, number D, so the instruction then D is to have them take these inventories 1 through 4, and then you've got the layout here of the inventory, so you can see those are the ones. The first one, BIA, Survey of Character Strengths, we'll talk more about how to utilize that one. With Kiersey, you can use either Kiersey or the Myers-Briggs. If they need a free version, Kiersey's fine. Don't tell the Myers-Briggs folks that I do that, but I do. And but the other thing is ask them if they've ever taken Myers-Briggs, because if they have, they can just provide the letters to you, and you don't have to, have them take it at all. The desired career and business characteristics is more having to do with your with the characteristics, the way they want their work to be, and that kind of thing. And then they will have already taken their learning styles inventory because they take that in their welcome document, so you don't need to have them take that. And I do want to remind you guys that each client does receive a login for the website, and their user ID is always their first and last name, all lowercase, and their password is 123, and it's always the same unless they change their password themselves. So that way you always know, and you can always remind them of what their login credentials are. Okay, so then from there, you're going to help them glean possibilities and criteria from each of the inventories. You're then in F, you're going to offer them the other the other activities to help them identify possibilities, and that's 5 through 10. The Barnes & Noble career exploration activity, the Ask Your Friends career exploration exercise, some questions, the Holland Code test, which is the old test we used to take, might be before some of your time, but and we do have some people in Canada who may not have taken it, but that's that test that told us that we should be a doctor or an attorney or whatever. And some people like to take that, and it gives them some other possibilities. Another place that they get possibilities is H, which is the career lists, and that's 11 through 16. And I would highly encourage you guys to look through these yourself, because you need to become versed in career possibilities. And so I would go and, you know, look at the 100 best jobs in America. What is the best job in America from Time Magazine, new and emerging careers, and then all the career lists, and just kind of get exposed to the different kinds of careers that are out there. And also, if you haven't worked in large companies, understanding the different departments and in companies and organizations is really helpful too. If you've only worked in nonprofit, maybe, you know, this helps you understand the departments in all the organizations. So this is really about possibilities only, not criteria, and it just helps them get a bigger possibilities list. Any questions on any of that? I'm getting a really quiet group today, aren't I? we had so much more discussion last time.
I have a question for you.
I think it's because it's the end of the day.
Oh, okay.
I have a question for you, Donna. I'm just trying to wrap my head around, because there's a lot in here. I'm trying to wrap my head around how many sessions is this? Obviously, it depends on how long it takes them to get there. But do you have any sense? Is this a 3 months? Is this a longer? I mean, some people go fast and some people go slow, because there's a lot in here.
I say 9 sessions is a probably a good...
So about 3 months, probably.
Yeah, 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I'm pushing more for career exploration clients to do 3 times per month. So you guys should push that when you know, I'm doing a pre-consult with them, but you should push that too, because if it takes too long, then they kind of lose focus. And so 3 times a month, 3 times. Some people go faster, some people go slower, that's for sure. But if they sign up for 3 months, then you get more time to help them with their plan or with their job search or with starting their new business. So that's kind of what I'm pushing people towards. And in my experience, that's the best sort of amount of time. Great question. Any other questions at this point?
I have a question. Do they usually pay themselves, or is this sometimes a company paid thing?
This is almost always an individually paid process. There are a couple times when that isn't the case. I have a client right now that high level, coming out of a large company, and he negotiated this as part of his exit package.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does have 8 sessions that his ex-employer is paying for. Another example has been we've had an outplacement firm that has paid for this for the spouses, or not an outplacement, but a relocation firm that has paid for the spouses to get this when they relocate the employee.
That makes sense, because the person's moving, so like, how do you help the spouse too, so they can get the whole package there?
Right, so that's another time.
And how about the other side, which is the job search? Is that a combination of the person, individual, and the company sometimes?
It is almost 100% individually paid.
The job search.
Yeah.
Huh.
Very rare that, I guess, you know, we've had a few outplacement contracts, but really, at least in my business, it's been almost all individually paid. I think, Katie, you're looking at pitching that as a service to some companies, being an outplacement firm, but being not Wright Management or Lee Hecht Harrison, not being a big firm, correct?
Oh, no, I wasn't going to pitch that to anybody.
Oh, I thought you were doing that. No?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm.
That may be something we go after.
I tell you what, there's a market for it.
Yeah, because we're so much lower cost than what, you know, Wright Management or one of those companies would charge. So, that's, you know, something that we can do. And when I get out there selling more, we can see if we can sell some contracts on that.
You know what I need to do is, I work for an outplacement firm part of my hours during the week, and I always have clients that are saying, so can I extend my service when it's over, you know, if they have a 6-month gig or a 3-month gig, and I can't promote my services, but I should say, oh, no, but there is a company that I can give you the name of, and I
that'd
can give
be
your
great.
Name. That's what I should be doing.
That would be great. That would be
awesome. Say, well, I know Glacier Point Solution, they sell to clients, because the one I work with is a B2B model.
Right.
And I could just say, you do B2B and B2C.
That would be awesome, and we can work out some kind of arrangement for that, too.
So, think of that.
Yeah, that would be great. And then I'll just match them with one of our other coaches, and that way it's not a conflict of interest, and we'll give them the lower price and actually a higher level of service probably than what they offer in the outplacement world. And that's what I've been told. I've been hired by a lot of people that had Right Management, Lee Hecht Harrison, never from RiseSmart, but, you know, some of the others. And mm-hmm. I'm always told that the service I provide is much higher level.
Oh,
that,
for sure.
That it's more personal, that we really help them, that they get handed a bunch of resources and then they're overwhelmed and they don't know what to do with them. So, yeah.
It's probably because they may not be doing coach, maybe doing more of the tools without the hand-holding and the coaching.
Yeah, it's consultative.
Yeah. I just want to say I have a client that, a coaching client of mine, happens to be a doctor of audiology, speaking of audiology. I've been working with him for a while. He just let somebody go the other day after a long, long, hard thing. I may talk to him and see if he's interested in it, because he really didn't want to do it, but he had to let him go because it wasn't the right fit. I'll talk to him about, see if he's interested in having job search.
An outplacement package, yeah.
Yeah, kind of thing. And if it is, even if he just let her go yesterday, if it is, then I'll just have him contact you directly.
Awesome. That's great.
And you know, I've had, Donna, I have a client who, she was with a firm here in Denver, and she was laid off, and they said, find an outplacement package. Here's what your budget is. And she called me, and so they ended up paying me for outplacement for her.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something, because like my client is a small audiology customer with, you know, two doctors and five or six people, small little place, and yet this happens. Not everybody knows about a Lee Hecht or whatever. So I think,
right.
I think that is an interesting target.
I don't think they can afford.
No, they probably can't.
You know, right. Those kinds of services, because they're dealing with huge corporations. I mean,
yeah.
That's where they make their money.
Yeah,
so there's a place in the market for that.
I think you're right, because when a friend of mine got laid off from HP, he got to Lee Hecht or Wright or whatever, but you're right.
Right.
So there probably is a sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any client that you guys want to, because you can't do it because you're working under the company, you know, any client that you want to refer back into Glacier Point, I will work out a percentage coming back to you guys. So, we'll work that, and we love to have it. And then that's a way we can help all, you know, everybody. And, you know, we can be referring back and forth. So that's awesome. Okay, well, that was, thanks for waking up and
that woke us up. We have interaction.
Yay! Okay, so just encouraging you to spend some time on the career lists, because part of what's happening while you're doing this is, you know, you ask them the question, you know, what did you want to be when you were growing up? Or, you know, what have people told you you should do? And say they say career counselor, then you're teasing it out and you're saying, oh, okay, well, have you thought about being a therapist? Well, have you thought about being a career coach? Have you thought about coaching for a college? Doing career counseling for a college, or, you know, were you thinking, you know, more independent? You know, have you ever thought of being a recruiter? You know, because those are related, right? So they say something, and then you're throwing out additional possibilities that they haven't thought of. You know, if they're saying they want to be a business consultant, then you're saying, well, have you thought of being a quality assurance consultant or a process improvement consultant or an independent trainer? So, you know, it's up to us to point them to places to look at, you know, these lists of possibilities, but it's also up to us to take what they're saying and offer additional possibilities that they haven't thought of. If they say radiology, then, you know, I would say, well, have you thought about being a mammographer, you know, not just radiology? So you're helping them tease out possibilities. Okay. Once you get the list of possibilities, and you've got that long possibilities, then you want to narrow it down a bit, get rid of some of them, and then it's going to get into the career matrix. You can put it in. That's normally what I do, is I put them in for them. And then once we've gotten the possibilities in there and once we've done the criteria weighting, then I also do a couple of the jobs with them. And then in some cases, they want to take it and do it on their own, which is fine. And in some cases, I, do it, all of it with them. And it's just up to them how they want to do it. If they're going to do it on their own, I always, on page 4 towards the bottom, I've got some instructions here that say, if they're going to do it on their own, I have them highlight areas they're not sure of so that we can discuss it in a future session. And I let them know that that may be a place where they're going to develop an informational interview question. So, if they don't know how stable being a professor at a university is, then maybe that becomes a question that they ask some professors. Or, if they don't know how much a human resources generalist makes, that, we can do some research, and it may drive them to research, or it may drive them to include that in an informational interview that they would do in the future.
And so do you leave it blank for weighting it if they don't know?
What I do is if they're doing it on their own, I tell them to leave it blank if they don't know, and then I try to help them. And then if I can't help them, then we leave it blank. And they,
okay.
If it comes up as a pretty high thing, then, or I'll have them fill in a number and put it a yellow highlight on it, and then that way we know
we need
to go back to it. Yeah.
Okay.
And what we're trying to do then is get to a top 3 to 5 best career matches. And when we get to that top 3 to 5, then supporting them in doing some research on those and on the career exploration website, 17 through 21 really supports them in, or 22 supports them in doing research. And by the way, I have added some image here of the career matrix so that as you're, educating them about the process, you can refer to it. And if you click on that link that says Career Matrix, it even has a prettier little version here for them to look at, just so that, you can show it to them. Let's see. And I've added also, number 22 is a new way of researching, which I hadn't thought of until recently, which is one way they can research careers is by doing a search on a job search website. So they can go onto Monster or Indeed, and they can type in a career and see what kinds of jobs are out there and read the descriptions and learn more about what is done in those careers. Number 17 is really the best place to do career research, and if you click on that, it takes you over to the U.S. Department of Labor Occupational Outlook Handbook. That's a great place to do research. U.S. News and World Report has some research.
How about ONET online?
Yeah, and ONET's on there as well.
That's a great tool, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great tool. Different ways of doing searches where you can look up a career or a job and read about it and find out careers that are related to it. So part of what we're doing is giving them tools that they can use. They need to be off doing research, but we're giving them tools to do that research. So as I'm coaching people in career exploration, I'm taking them back to this career exploration page very often in that process. The first part being to get them to do the inventories, the second part to get them to do some additional activities, the third time to get them to go look at some career lists, and then, back to do research and so forth. So you're just coming back to this page over and over again. Once they have actually come up with the top one or two, then it's time to move into creating a plan. And oftentimes it's a multi-step plan where first they're going to get a job that will help them survive because they hate their job so much. Then they're going to start working on getting prepared for the next job, which may mean training or getting some extra exposure or doing some education, repositioning themselves. And so then that's their next step in their plan. And then there could even be a step after that where they want to get promoted or move up in that career. So you're helping them create a plan. And then from there, they're either moving into job search or launching a business. And, that is an important thing to remember, too, is that in some cases you're helping them evaluate if they want to open a bookstore or a restaurant or if they want an online business or whatever. That can also be evaluated. If you don't want to do job search at that point, you would let me know that they need a job search coach and we could switch them over. Or if they are going to launch a small business, we do have a couple of coaches that could support them with business plan creation, marketing plan creation, and so forth. So you would switch them back over, and then we would get them into that. And I do want to open your eyes to the concept that even once you do job search and they find that job, and you can still work on upselling the client into executive leadership the first 90 days or career coaching. So, part of retention is seeing where the client is and making them aware that you can serve them in that function or that somebody else at Glacier Point can serve them in that function as well. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, it does.
Katie, why don't you go first, and then we'll have Barry follow up.
So I just clicked the main page for Onet online, and it says page not found.
Oh, okay. So we will get that link fixed. Anything else?
But the other one? No, the other ones work. I was just checking it out.
Okay. And anytime you guys find a link that doesn't work, let me know and we'll get it fixed. Sometimes they change and sometimes we've made a mistake. Barry, what were you going to say?
It'll come to me in a minute. I was just looking. I think the URL for the main system changed from when I remember it. So I'm going to look at that. What was I going to say? It was something profound, but I'll let it go.
Did it have to do with maintaining the relationship with the client?
Oh yeah, thank you. Here's what happens, by the way. I'm usually good at night. I was up at 4:30 this morning, so my brain is not firing all cylinders. It does, and that has to do. What I was going to say is, it's one thing to have them find a job and get there, but it's another thing to get them like onboarded in there. And I'm thinking that whatever that next step is could just be amazing to help them feel settled and good, and then in the job. And I think that could be a very valuable thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I do that with a lot of clients and have over the years. It's about letting them know that you've got that job, but you want to keep that job and you want to be successful in that job and you want to get promoted and all of those things we can help you with, and it's worth the investment, because if you make more money this year, the next year you're going to make more and more and more, and it's an exponential effect. So it's a great investment to make in themselves. So absolutely always be thinking about where the client's going and what you can upsell them into with regard to service. We're coming close to time. I want to let each of you make one comment. What's the biggest thing you're taking away from today? And I will start with Barry, if that's okay.
Okay, and I have one thing not related to this before people get off
the
phone.
Sure.
I'd like to mention. It's got complexities to it, and it's a process, and it's a way to kind of map it and help them through it. That's what I got out of today.
Okay. Do you want to say your comment too?
As many of you know, I'm a virtual education director for ICFLA, and We're up against the edge for looking for a teleclass speaker for probably an hour for resource development in the end of February. So if anybody thinks they want to talk, just hang on for a minute. I'll get your number and I'll call you.
Perfect. Okay. Katie, what's the biggest thing you're taking away today?
Well, I think number 17 and just going through this link by link has been really helpful.
Oh, good. Okay.
On the last career and business goal setting, do you have them do that developmental tool?
I sometimes do and I sometimes don't. And that's a tool I developed. So it just depends on the situation.
Where they're at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's really a lot of that actually has to do with career coaching rather than career exploration coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's thinking about how can you get promoted. You know, what are your goals?
Well,
for
yeah, and there's a combination of entrepreneurial stuff on there, too. Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of a combo. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Hi, sorry to interrupt. It's sure. Tiffany. I have to go because I have a client.
Okay. No problem. Go.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Vicki, what do you want to share that you've learned today?
Well, I think it's related to the matrix and organizing things that way. I might, if I were being coached, I might be one of those people that would initially react to that when I see it and think, ooh, that's too much. But I can see the value. These are often emotional decisions, and so this helps it be objective and take away, you know, emotion from what I'm trying to rank if I'm working through that. I like that.
So it's sort of like I think that's part of it is that you got to sell them on the process and how it helps them. And so if they feel uncomfortable, you know, you can say, you know, I'm going to lead you through this. I'm going to support you. You know, let's give it a try. And what you're going to get out of it is that it's not going to be an emotional decision, and it's going to really help you make a good decision. It's worth the investment of time because this is huge. This is your whole life, and think about how many hours you spend working and how much it dominates your life, and we want to make sure you make a really good decision. And so even though this may feel a little overwhelming, I'm going to help you through it, and when you get to the end of it, you're going to have a lot more clarity than you do right now. And I'll tell you what I've seen is that when people get clarity, they start taking action. And so people who come and they're stuck and they're stuck in their job, once we go through this process, they start getting really clear about what they want. And once they're clear about what they want, they take action that they wouldn't have taken before.
So, Dawn, I have a question.
Sure.
Have you seen clients get more confused before they get clear?
Yeah, I mean, I tell them, let's, you know, hang in there. It may feel messy, it may feel uncomfortable, but we will get to the other side of it.
Yeah.
But I have never had a client come out of this without having, like,
more clarity.
Extreme clarity, yeah. And, you know,
it's also good to know that it typically lasts 3 months. I never knew that because Susan keeps asking me.
Okay,
I just fit my way through that. You know, it just depends on the client.
Yeah.
How many
well, and it does. I mean, I've seen it go as fast as 6 weeks, and I've seen it go more to 4 months. But that's sort of an average, you know. And some people have provided me all the inventories the first day. You know, it just depends on that person, but the typical amount of time is about 3 months. And it's a big decision. It's worth that kind of an investment because I'll tell you, I went back and got a teaching credential, took 2 years doing it, and then hated it. And, like, what a waste of time and energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we have to give them context on why it's important to do the process.
Right.
Okay. And I apologize, you guys have gone 3 minutes over, so I'm going to let us close out. Keep your thoughts and questions. Send me questions for the next session. We'll end up with different people on different sessions, but you can listen to them. I think it's going to end up being 4 sessions for us to do it. And I'm scheduling session two coming up and starting to lay out how this is all going to go. So, and I appreciate your taking the time and investing the time with me in learning this process. I really, really appreciate it. And like I said, you can use it with any of your clients as well as your Glacier Point clients. And I hope it enriches you. And thanks so much for your time. And I'll leave the call on for a few minutes, Barry, in case someone wants to stay on to talk about doing a class. And then we'll turn it off, and the recording will be coming up. And thanks so much, you guys, for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Deb.
Thanks, Donna.
Bye.
Code 618.